listening to Eric Mac Online. Here's your host, Eric Mac.
This is the first of several segments from an e-productivity interview that I did with Harlan Hugh and Shelley Hayduck of The Brain Technologies and my colleague Steve Barth. During the next 10 minutes or so, Shelley and Harlan will give us an overview of the next release of The Brain, called Personal Brain 4. I'm here in beautiful Marina Del Rey, California, and I happen to be sitting at the world headquarters of The Brain Technologies. And let me tell you who's around the table for this podcast. To my left is Shelley. Hey, Duck.
Hey.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And just to her left is Harlan.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Harlan. And to my right is Steve Barth, who I've blogged about as well. So we came down to Marina Del Rey to get a tour of the new Personal Brain 4. We've already taken the 50-cent tour of the world headquarters and the data centers and the call center operations. So now it's just a question of seeing the product. So which of you are going to walk us through this? You want to give us an overview? Why don't you tell me a little bit for some of the readers? I have a number of readers who are followers of the blog from the perspective of mind mapping, and when they think of mind mapping, they think of perhaps the Tony Buzan model, mm-hmm. where you have the traditional mind map, and there are a number of products that have taken that concept and turned that into a traditional product. But when I look at the brain, as I've blogged about it, that's not what I see. It's really a very different type of product. Would you like to give me some background on the thinking behind that?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the brain actually started out as a project, a personal project of mine, to try and make computing friendlier to normal people.
That's all right.
And the way that happened basically was, as I was working with computers all the time, I sort of thought, well, you know, this is really a tool for expanding my mind. But other people that I talked to just didn't see it that way. They saw it as a typewriter or as a filing cabinet or other sort of uninspiring devices. And I realized that a big part of that was because of the metaphors that we used to explain the computer as a desktop with a trash can and folders and so forth. And I sort of said, well, what if we turn that on its head and said, let's make this into a model of your brain? And I didn't know about mind mapping at the time, so that's why the brain sort of looks completely different and functions completely different from the mind map, even though it has some a lot of things in common with your brain.
Give me an idea of time frame. When was this?
This is in the early 90s, probably 91, maybe 92.
Okay.
That's when we first started working on the product. So basically the way that the brain works is you see all the different concepts or ideas that you want to work with, and they can represent files or folders or people or web pages, what have you. And we call each one of those things a thought. And the user interface is organized as a series of thoughts all connected to one another. And when you click on a thought, it comes into the center of the screen, and everything reorganizes around it, right? So if you're used to a mind map, then it's a little different because the focus continually shifts in the brain every time you click on something. So instead of sort of having something that's almost like a giant piece of paper, it's more like a liquid dynamic interface.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. There's much more fluid user experience, that dynamic reconfiguration. So, you know, in terms of, you know, the way we describe that, you could think of it as more of an animated or dynamic, not mind map, which, you know, in some cases is amazing. If you have a lot of content to navigate through, you can drill down very quickly through a vast amount of content, and it's always surrounded. And I think what we've done with version 4.0, as we'll get to that, is kind of now try to incorporate sort of the best of both worlds. So now that we have the expanded views, you can sort of expand that view further out. So you can look at sort of infinite number of generations, but you still have that core associative network that triggers all relationships.
Let me try to describe this and tell me, and this is kind of interesting to be doing an audio tour of a visual product.
But, interesting.
But let me try to describe this in my own words and tell me if I'm capturing this. The idea, if you look at a traditional mind map, again, I'll say like a Tony Buzan-style mm-hmm. mind map, you have the central thought in the middle, and then radiating out from that central thought that never moves, you have branches that are connected to subordinate thoughts and ideas mm-hmm. that radiate around. And what's different about the brain is that that central thought is always a moving target, because anything that you then touch on, if you navigate down a particular branch and click on something, that becomes the center of focus
right.
and your center of perspective. So it'd be as if I said, you know, Harlan, have you ever been to Paris? Remember when you're standing, you know, at the Arc of Triumph and you're looking down the street and immediately your mind calls to all the pictures of everything you saw
right.
and you associate it. And I said, now, but Harlan, have you ever been on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue looking down toward the White House? And again, your mind immediately jumps there, and that's your focus.
Right.
And removed from view are all the thoughts of Paris.
Right.
And
exactly.
So that's kind of the way I try to right. describe that.
And yeah. I like the word that you used as far as focus, Eric, because I think that's important. We have that idea of that central concept and everything sort of radiating around it, what we call the active thought. But really what we find is it really does give you focus. Sometimes when I'm juggling multiple tasks or working with different applications, just by even moving my brain to that area or that client really helps me orient myself and, you know, discover things and that sort of thing. So
now,
that is important.
One of the questions I would have then for somebody who might look at this and try to immediately compare it to a traditional mind mapping mm-hmm. product, I would say stop making the comparison, because it's really two different
right.
genres of software, really. Mm-hmm. I can see where this is very powerful for high-level thinking and taking survey of the knowledge that you have available to you. But how about for the planning side? Some people like to have a static map, and they don't want that map changing.
Sure, sure. Well, we have a couple of different things that we're working on. One is, as Shelley mentioned, the expanded view, which basically lets you take your brain, which is normally focused around just a single thought, and have multiple points of focus so that you can see sort of many levels all at once. And, you know, the brain is really a sort of a platform for organizing your thoughts. One of the things I just wanted to mention is that in contrasting it with a sort of more traditional or conventional mind mapping approach, the software is database driven, and it's built to scale to, you know, an infinite number of topics, really. So that's sort of one of the primary drivers of the differences.
I noticed that when you and I met at KM World last year, I walked in thinking about the idea of having a brain for this and a brain for that, and,
right.
and Shelley said, no, it's one brain, it's your brain.
One brain that rules them all.
And then she said, would you like to see my brain? And she put it up there on the screen, and there it was.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, no, the sort of the preferred way of using the product, I won't say the only way, but the preferred way is to have a brain that is your brain that has all the things that you do in it. And the reason is because then you can make connections between things that, you know, normally you might not think of as being connected. So, for instance, you can have your personal life organized in it and your business life for your consulting and what have you. And when you meet somebody, they may connect in multiple contexts.
Right.
Right? So, for instance, you might have a brother-in-law who you go golfing with, but he works for another company, and that company you happen to do consulting with, right?
Right.
So all of those connections can really be leveraged so that you can really build something that literally mirrors what's in your head.
So it is your personal knowledge store.
Exactly.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. In the GTD methodology, when David Allen teaches about lists and list management, one of the common questions that people will ask is they'll say, well, should I separate my work lists from my home lists and my personal lists? and without answering explicitly, telling people you must do it this way or that way, he said, you know, ultimately it comes back to a total life to-do list. Mm-hmm. And if you've written it down, it's because it's important to you to get done.
Right.
And it may so happen that there are various contexts, work and personal and play,
right.
But it's ultimately it's your list. And what you're describing in the brain sounds like that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, in your life, everything is connected, whether or not you want it to be.
Right.
You know, taking advantage of those connections is really what the software is all about, and letting you sort of see that so that, you know, when you're working on something or when you meet somebody or you're planning a meeting, you know, you can go to that thought in your brain and see everything about that. So when you go and look at a person, you can remember by looking at the screen, you know, how did you meet that person?
Right.
What do they know? What's their wife's name? Where do they work? You know, all of these things. Having a single environment to do that in really makes the difference, because you're not always thinking about things in terms of one topic. The topic is you.
Right.
Right.
Well, here's what I'd like to do. Since this is a low-budget or a no-budget podcast, and I'm holding this little tiny shiny new Sony recorder in my hand, I'm going to pause it and do a sound check, and then I know we're setting up the projector so you can show us some stuff, and we'll be right back. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this first segment of my interview with Harlan and Shelley at The Brain. I'm going to go ahead and post this up on the web. I'll edit the next segment, and we'll get that up there too. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Eric Mack Online. For show notes and related information, be sure to visit www.ericmackonline.com.